You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
Time for crosstalk on Spring Trading Tuesday, right? Right?
Right.
Right here.
That's what it is.
You're home for the Bears, ESPN 1000. All right, AI Jack, lower. AI Jack, lower. There we go.
Why is he AI Jack? Artificial intelligence Jack?
You have to tell him what to do. And when he speaks, that's been fed to him earlier, Tom.
Yeah.
Know your teammates, for God's
sakes. By the way, I got a text from Sylvie like an hour ago. He's at the Cancun airport, yeah. And his sons are getting their picture taken with Emery Moorhead.
Of course. Poor Emery.
We used to have a good laugh when we would go to spring training and he would hand one of his kids to Theo or Jed.
Sure.
Hey, take a picture with one of my kids, will you? And they, you know, Jed and Theo were the nicest guys in the world. They would absolutely, you know, do it every year.
Yes. But. Could you imagine saying F off in that situation with the kids sitting there?
Probably not.
Yeah. Spring Training Tuesday. My partner, David Kaplan, is with Tom Waddle as we are together here. Spring Trading. It is Cap and Waddle here on WGN. Guys, welcome.
That's what Keith said. He walked in, our boss. He goes, WGN's back.
That's right. Where's Dave Ennett? Is Dave Ennett anywhere outside? Dave Ennett.
And the Wildcats win the game.
How about that? The Wildcats are in the tournament. Are they a 9 seed?
You know what?
Second time in a row. First time ever in school history.
Cap, I'm happy for Ennett. I'm happy for him because you know how I'm a big fan of Dave. You know that. That's the pinnacle I want to get to as a play-by-play guy. He's the best, right?
He is. He's awesome.
But all the losses, he's making up for all the bad losses, the Carmody administration, all the bad. I mean, I'm happy for him that he's on the next level, not in the basement of the Big Ten. I'm happy for him.
When he came in one day and he's like doing Dave Ennett, touchdown, and they're back in at 47-7. I'm like, right. Oh, my God.
Well, it's the truth, right?
Now, yeah.
The reason why, Tommy, I love Ennett is because you're in the car. Northwestern's on.
Yeah.
And you don't know the score. You just know
they're getting their asses handed to them.
You just know Northwestern's driving because you could hear the voice of Ennett. Steve Schnurr, touchdown! Touchdown, Northwestern! Penalty end of point, 46-6! And by the way, you hear the score and you go, they're rallying.
Yeah.
They're on the way back. I'll stay in the car another 15 minutes. Hold on. You hear the score, but it's so optimistic, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, damn, Dave sees something I can't see because I'm listening on the radio.
I don't think I've ever heard a negative tone from Dave in it in any moment.
You remember when we had dinner at his house and he forgot to pay the cable bill and they turned off the ear-biting Mike Tyson fight? Remember that?
I think I do remember that. Yeah, what do you mean he failed to pay his cable bill?
That's what his wife said. Dave, you didn't pay the cable bill. We couldn't get the fight.
Times are tough.
That's it.
Tough times.
What are you putting into that thing over there?
It's electrolytes. I drink these 3, 4, 5 times a day.
Yeah, it puts a little.
That, I was going to say, that explains something.
Yeah, it puts a little, a little taste in the well water.
Yeah?
Yeah. Don't you wish you had that back home? Covington, don't you wish you had that little something in your well water, sir?
How do you put that in the end of a hose?
Let me show you.
Don't act like you didn't drink out of a hose when you were a kid.
No, I mean, that's the, on a hot day, that's the best water.
Yes.
No question. Out of the end of a hose.
Anybody come at you today about Justin still, or have they accepted it?
One person.
It's such a.
How about the video that Barkstool Big Cat put out of the guy that called Hallis Hall screaming at them?
Wow.
Well, I did see the tweet from somebody that wanted to have everyone sign a petition to get the trade reversed.
Yes.
I saw that.
The change.org petition.
You know, I was telling Cap upstairs, Jonathan, like, I know we've all had this conversation amongst ourselves that I've never seen anything like this. I don't recall hearing anything ever from any outlet, radio or television, that ever had anything disrespectful to say about Justin as a teammate, as a Bear, as a person. Nobody has ever trashed him, and for good reason. There's no reason to.
We just didn't think he was good enough.
And that's the crux of this conversation that has me so perplexed. Because we spend a lot of time talking about the successes and failures of other players But people don't rush to kick us in the nuts if, in fact, I say, well, guys, guess what? Lucas Patrick just wasn't good enough. They're going to have to upgrade at center.
That's right.
Or, you know, hey, look, Vooch just isn't good enough for what they're paying him right now. They need to get a better option at the five.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is.
Right.
Like, you know what? Nicky Two Strikes just isn't a major league third baseman.
Right. Fair.
But you say something like, look, guys, I mean, there are flashes, but at the end of the day, it just hasn't been good enough, consistently enough. And you would think that I've insulted an entire family.
I
don't get it.
I think, well, Tommy, let me help you. I think I have the answer. You know what the answer is? Is that we're
people
the
people are stupid?
No. Oh, I mean, that's always been the case. That's not anything new. Okay? I think that it is we're the home of the Bears. And you didn't hear Josh List saying this about a Bears player. This criticism wasn't on BBM.
So you're expecting, they're expecting to hear nothing but positivity, even in the face of things not being very good.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, Felicia Holtman and Felicia Middlebrooks and John Holtman weren't breaking down the Bears in the morning.
Correct. When Matt Eberflus came on, he didn't get hit between the eyes with, Coach, why would you not kick the field goal against Denver?
But that's not even being hit between the eyes. That's being asked a legitimate question.
Agreed.
I think there has been a respectful approach to how we have handled this entire
relationship. Agreed. 100%.
And I just don't understand. This is the nature of the beast in 2024 and with social media involved. But, Jonathan, my first feeling when the trade was announced on Saturday, and I said this yesterday, was relief.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for me, but yes, selfishly for me. But sure. Once I got outside my own selfish circle, I felt relief for Justin, who can, turn the page and go somewhere else. I felt relief, again, for myself. I felt relief for Ryan Poles. I felt relief for Caleb Williams, if he's their number one overall pick, which we all believe he is. Mm-hmm. I just felt a sense of relief that now everyone can kind of go their separate ways and start over, and I hope that everyone does well. Like, I think that's been the opinion of everybody.
There's a new petition that's being started. Being tweeted out. Bears fans have started a petition for the team to wear a commemorative Justin Fields number one patch on their jerseys.
Come on, that's
Lucky's
a joke. Who did that? Come on.
Well, no, that was a joke. Just to like incite the riot, to just see how just how low the fan base could really go.
Did you see the one video of the guy today?
Yeah, I saw that of him calling Hallis Hall.
But no, the other one where the guy came out and said, Justin, if you need a friend when you're down, we know you're still the guy. Just call me. I've got your back. I've been by your side the whole time. Dude, it's unbelievable.
Did Mitch get that treatment?
No, he did not.
Get out.
My point is that he's not dead.
Right.
He didn't die.
No.
For God's sakes. And by the way, if fans saw what Justin Fields could see, do you know what this looks like, Tommy? He's got his phone out and he's got his friends around him as he sits on the couch and they're pointing and laughing at the screen.
Of course.
Like, look at these people.
Like, what they're saying.
And he's like,
I'm good.
And Justin, I'm good. Like, I have a chance to start with the Steelers if it doesn't work out well. And I'm with a world-class coach and world-class organization. I'm good.
And I'm going to be in this league for 15 years.
Yes.
Correct.
I mean, this support, there's nothing wrong with the support. But I find something else that's very interesting about this. And that is that where's the ire in the phone lines 1 through 10 mad at Poles? It's one thing to take it out on Tom Waddle or take it out on Jonathan Hood or David Kaplan. How come 1 through 10, it's like, this Poles doesn't know what he's doing? What? Where's the ire on Poles? You don't see that. It's
us. We're the reason.
Like it's him, it's Cap, it's Danny Parkins.
Right.
Those are the people that are inciting the violence.
Dude, I'm getting all these tweets. Congrats, you bullied another athlete out of town.
Really? You think anyone at any professional...
You think Ryan Poles is listening to this?
Right. Like, they are not listening to what we have to say.
Although...
Whoever said that statement, when you start listening, be careful, because when you start listening to the fans...
You'll be sitting with them
sooner rather than later.
We're working upstairs.
Some have rabbit ears. Don't get me wrong.
This one particular executive, Theo Epstein, told me 150 times, I don't listen to you. The only thing I've ever seen you do is our post-game or pre-game show. I don't listen to sports radio. I don't watch sports talk. None of it. I don't pay attention. I don't want to be influenced by it. I said something critical. We went to break. Hoodie threw it to break. Or maybe I was driving.
Yeah.
I threw it to break, and it is not a half a second. My phone is ringing while we're at break, and I go to Hoodie. And I answer the phone. I'm like, what's up? How can you say that? I said, I thought you didn't listen.
A friend of mine told me.
Uh-huh. I said, no, there wasn't enough time. Good try.
Within milliseconds, he called.
Well, I'm not suggesting they don't listen. I'm just telling you that they're not moved by what they hear from us dopes.
That's correct.
With their decision making.
That's
so
correct.
It's just such an easy, it's an easy thing to do is to point the finger at somebody just because you're frustrated that one of your favorite players isn't in town anymore. And I get it. We're all fans.
Yes.
But, like, this is life in professional sports.
Yes. I think Black hit on it from noon to three. We were talking about, when was the last time you had this type of furor around an athlete? He said Derrick Rose. I went back as far as Michael, as far as people protecting an athlete. But I was, and he said Derrick Rose, and it makes sense. Derrick Rose, when he got injured, who was the blame? It was on Tom Thibodeau and the Bulls organization for Derrick's unfortunate injury in that playoff game.
Cuddy was a divisive.
He was, but Jonathan, I would say about Derrick Rose, Derrick Rose had an MVP.
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, like, I can understand, you know, dying on that hill, so to speak, for somebody that's got that resume or has got those skins on the wall.
He was Hall of Fame bound.
Yes. So yes. I can understand that. The passion never intersected with the production.
Yeah.
I mean, is the best way I can say it. And I've also have said for 3 years now, the reason it wasn't better was it was shared culpability. I can give you a long list of things that were horribly, you know, divisive and weren't in place that benefited him. But at the end of the day, he has to assume responsibility for not being a better quarterback as well.
Correct.
You put it all together, and it didn't work. And now they've built the infrastructure, I think, that is significantly better. Unfortunately for Justin, the infrastructure sucked. It was awful. The infrastructure for Caleb Williams is going to be pretty damn good. You know, you got DJ Moore, you've got Keenan Allen, you may draft another receiver, Cole Kmet, you got DeAndre Swift. Like, the infrastructure now is what every young quarterback would hope for when they're beginning their NFL journey. I said jersey, I meant journey. And it's unfortunate, but that's the nature of the beast.
It is what it is.
I don't think we've seen this since Luck went to the Colts as far as infrastructure.
Yeah, same thing. Like we talked about, when was the last team a team was drafting number one overall, but wasn't the worst record? And it was actually the Rams when they moved up to draft Jared Goff, but that team wasn't anywhere near as ready to go as the Colts were. Even you can make the case for this Bears team.
Yeah.
I mean, the Colts had some, or the Rams had some players, but they didn't have the players like that the Colts did.
Yeah. So it's so different. And I've been trying to explain to Cap that for some, this is just a complete sea change from what we're used to. What we're used to, Tommy, is an offseason. All right, let's get this third-rate defensive lineman. Let's see what we could do in the draft. We'll make one splash. That's it. I told Bleck, I said, what Poles is doing is what an NBA GM would do. To say, I'm going to build through the draft, but I'm going to get this player, this player, this player, and have a splash and be ready to go. Because
you're right.
From 3 wins to 7 wins to 9, 10, 11 wins, that's what he's looking at. And by the way, that's how you incrementally build. That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're close, okay, we're blessed enough to have the number one pick again at the quarterback position. Need a backup tight end. Need a veteran in the room for a running back. We need to shore up the offensive line. We got to have more of a pass rush. All this is a whirlwind for some people that people can't handle, Tom, because that's not how the Bears do business historically.
Right.
Like this quick? No.
I heard somebody call you guys, you and Chris, earlier today, too, about how do you guys know that Matt Eberflus is the right guy for the job? And I was just giggling as I was driving in. With no disrespect meant to Matt Eberflus. You've always been, he's a coach from A, he'll get you from A to B.
The day he got named, Hoodie said, yeah, okay, he won't make it to Arlington Heights.
Listen, I say no disrespect meant, but there's probably some disrespect attached to it, and it's not intentional. I was clamoring for Jim Harbaugh, and it's the same thing I heard you say, Hoodie, that was my mantra along with you. If you're going to be willing to upgrade your left tackle or your center or your quarterback, then why wouldn't you be willing to? So many of us here on the station were clamoring for a change at quarterback or at head coach. And a big reason why is like we still have never seen this group all on the same timeline.
Right.
See, you know?
And there's justification for it, Cap. Think about it. Your defense got better as the season progressed. What a time to say, Matt, thank you. I mean, the defense got better. thank you. Now we're going to go from B to C. Because ultimately, when you have one of these Rick Renteria bridge guys in there, then you say, all right, help them, learn them, make sure you teach them how to win, get them to a certain level, and then, sorry, we're going to upgrade.
So would you feel better?
That's what the Cubs did they not?
They got Madden.
Okay.
Would you feel better if they announced we've extended Matt Eberflus?
Would I feel better? I don't know that it would make me feel any better.
Because now you know whether they have a tough first year for Caleb or not. He's not going anywhere. We're not getting a coaching change. Like if he said we'd added two more years.
I would say to you, you can give him 10 more years. If it's a disaster next year, he still should be on the hot seat.
Right.
So the length of his contract wouldn't matter to me. And this is a multi-billion-dollar industry. Like, I know how the Bears have looked at coaching contracts and not wanting to pay them not to coach, but that's not an excuse in my world.
Yeah, so I mean, if you were ever going to make a change, like you're making changes around the roster, this would have been the offseason. But now he's still around, looking sexy and smelling like mahogany.
And I hope it works. You know, so. Good guy, I hope it works. And he did some nice things down the stretch. But by the way, we had this argument upstairs, or this conversation.
Yes.
I'm not telling you that this is the difference between wins and losses, but didn't you find it odd that the Bears' contingency was at O'Hare boarding a plane to Caleb Williams?
They were taking United Pro Day Airlines
instead of just hopping on the corporate jet and flying down there private.
I wish that didn't get out. I wish that didn't get out because I don't want the Bears to look like the three of us, you know, going through clear and TSA. You're
you
the
do
Bears.
Realize when the Cubs went to get Madden, Theo and Jed flew on United.
I understand, man.
But maybe they were. But when they did that, they were flying under the radar, weren't they?
Well, then you definitely would go private. Then no one would know.
Well, I'm just saying.
They both had baseball. It's like Jed said, I got people looking at us. What are those two doing? Where are they flying to?
Beep, 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 beep. Sorry, Mr. Eberflus. Step back, please. What is that? Oh, that's my hair gel. You know, my wife got me looking pretty good.
Only anything under 8 ounces.
Yeah, so I'm looking pretty good here. What's that? Oh, cologne?
Right. I'm just saying, like, for a team, you're stepping up into the big time right now, right?
Yeah.
You get the first overall draft pick. You're moving. You're shaking. You're the team.
Come on, Cap.
You're the team everyone's talking about.
When you fly back with Caleb and you bring him back, you take the PJ. Who cares if they flew first class on United?
If this wasn't, like, if this was the Packers, you'd be ripping their ass.
No, I would not.
Yes, you would.
That's a quality organization.
Get out of here.
Well, he lives there.
Yeah,
exactly. That's true. You can understand.
True, yeah.
I mean, he's a resident there now.
By the way, we also have to, we got a little contest here,
Jonathan.
Well,
why are you slamming your hand down for? What is that? Does that make it official?
Because he hears you and I do that in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I felt like I was propping myself up because I was twisting in my chair.
You're fine.
It felt like I needed a little support.
I would catch you if you fell.
That's bold.
You don't believe that? You don't. Of all the people here, you don't think I'd trust fall? You don't think I'd catch you? Think about
probably,
it.
Probably, yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Sylvie, no.
Yeah.
Because of the hands thing.
Yeah.
But I would.
That's
I would
true.
I would
That's
definitely
true.
Pick. If you were to fall,
yeah,
I would catch you.
Okay.
All right?
You want to do that later before you get out of here?
Sorry, Tom. You know, hands, right?
All right. We have this contest every year. Mm-hmm. It used to be called 64 Teams Won Something Else, and then we were forced to change the title. So we have to come up with a new name for it, right, Tyler? But we take all 64 teams. There's really 68 teams, aren't there? What are they?
There's 68 starting tonight with the play-in game.
Yes. So we don't even worry about them. We wait till it gets to 64.
The play-in has been revealed, by the way, on the fridge brackets from Tyler. I already see the True TV bracket that's already out there.
We're going to give away teams. This is what we do randomly. And if your team wins at all, we knocked it out of the park this year in terms of the gift or the prize. You're going to win a gift card to Lou Malnati's and an Io DeSumo signed basketball and a Sister Jean bobblehead. ILO. I.
Really? So stuff from the seventh floor. In a closet.
I had to reach out to my wife to get the gift card.
Okay, but the rest of it, though.
Yeah. Right.
In a broom closet up there.
64 teams, one trash can, maybe is what it should be called, right? 64 teams, one trash can?
One closet.
One closet. 64 teams, one closet. Anyway.
Miller and I already have our picks. We got it together. The NCAA champion, Padres.
I know.
It's already locked in.
Do you have your alarm set for tomorrow morning, Hoodie?
3 a.m.
Opening day, buddy.
Oh, I do.
5 a.m. for us. 3 a.m. for our buddy Daniel Jeremiah, who's a big Padre fan.
I'll be up.
Anyway, first 10 callers.
I'm going to link Daniel Jeremiah into our text thread for Padres baseball this year.
First 10 callers, 312-332-3776. It says here, once you hear the sounder, Tyler. Okay, there you go. All right, if you're the one of the first 10 callers, you're going to get a team. 64 teams won what?
Not a cup.
Don't that Mellor, you just got us in trouble.
What?
One closet?
One chalice.
Chalice? Jonathan, do you have a suggestion?
Trophy?
Red Solo Cup. The way you and I like it. Red Solo Cup. Red Solo Cup. Reds win again.
Red Solo Cup. Nice bet. We have a sizable bet.
We do.
Just made upstairs, too.
Do?
Yeah.
I gave him one game in the standings.
Yeah.
Who has a better record, Cubs, Reds? $100.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of money, man. I usually bet $5 a game, John.
Congratulations.
Whoa!
The Reds, here we come.
CBS asked each coach in the tournament their favorite musical artist. So tell me who Bill Self said.
Chris Stapleton.
Nope.
Yanni.
Kansas.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Well, you understand he's recruiting there by saying that. Getting the older moms there. Come on, sister.
Danny,
let's dance. Don't watch the hair. Watch it. That's what he's doing. He's recruiting right there.
Utah State is your favorite artist.
Utah State? Yep. Prince?
Prince.
Yeah.
Mac Painter, Zach Brown Band.
Mm-hmm.
Who plays? I don't even know who these teams are. Is Grambling at the green and black gold and black logo?
That's it.
Dante Jackson is Young Jeezy. Who are they playing? Matt Logie is the coach. I have no idea who that is.
Is that a 215 matchup there?
Maybe.
Yeah.
No. Maybe. Matt Logie's Chris Stapleton is
there
his favorite musical artist.
Well, that's Cruton.
How about Danny Hurley?
Danny Hurley's probably listening to AC/DC.
Zeppelin or?
Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Because he's out of his mind.
Mark Pope at BYU, Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like college basketball to me.
Chris Collins, Babyface.
Really? Yeah. Babyface. Ken Edmonds, is that his real name? Babyface?
That's exactly right.
No idea. Brad Underwood.
How good was
Morgan
that, Jonathan,
Wallen.
That I pulled that?
Listen.
He's got a highway named after him, I think, in Indiana, doesn't he?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
As you go into Indianapolis?
Yes.
Yes, very good.
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
That's surprising.
I'm old school.
For someone who's
stupid, like me?
No, I'm talking about Chris Collins, for him to have something that's smooth to listen to.
Yeah, that is smooth.
Brian Dutcher at San Diego State. Bruce Springsteen.
That's about right.
Andy Kennedy. I don't know where he's coaching at now. Bob Marley.
You're supposed to know all this stuff. You're the basketball guy.
I don't know.
64 teams.
Andy Kennedy was Huggins' assistant, and then he was at Ole Miss.
Stop.
I don't know where he's at now.
All right, we gotta go to
break. He's got a dragon with fire coming out of his
mouth. We got Daniel Jeremiah coming up at the top of the hour.
All right, we will talk to...
You're driving this show.
That's correct.
Show some freaking discipline.
All right, we will talk to Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network.
Hey, Cap. Preview the Padres.
Okay. you have a great day.
You too. I'll see you in the morning.
Yep. You guys have a great day.
We love you, Jonathan.
We love you.
Am I going to talk to you tomorrow?
Yeah.
Wednesday. You blew us off last week, so...
Oh, I was moving. Yeah. I'll be there tomorrow.
Every Wednesday.
We've got to get to break. We'll be back with Daniel Jeremiah right after this.
Oh, Mr. Clock.
Said clock.